If I asked you right now to tell me how much your podcast has actually made you in the last year, in clients booked, revenue earned, in real measurable business results, could you give me a number? Can you point to a single episode that brought you a paying client? Most podcasters that I work with, they cannot identify this. They tell me exactly what their podcast has cost them, though. The hosting fee every month, the microphone that they bought, their time, the hours of recording, the hours of editing, the hours of writing show notes, the hours of promoting, the mental space that podcasting literally takes up every single week. But when I ask them what their podcast has earned them in return, or when they even think about it, they're not able to give an answer. And that's the moment when you realize that your podcast is not really set up to support your business. And at that point, it just starts becoming an expensive hobby. So in this episode, I'm going to walk you through how to know which category your podcast is in right now and what to do if the answer is not the answer that you wanted to hear. So if you suspect that your podcast might be actually costing you more than it is making you, my friend, this is the episode for you. You are in the right place. You're listening to the Moms Who Podcast Show because you want to launch, grow, and make sales from a podcast that fits your life and your business, not one that's built on chasing ads, downloads, or sponsorships. And I'm your host, Pamela Krista. I'm a wife, I'm a mom of five, and I'm a podcast manager and a podcast strategist, and I help women build podcasts that turn listeners into clients one episode at a time. Let's dive in. Before we get into today's episode, I actually built a free tool for the exact thing that we are about to talk about today. It is called the Podcast Audit Tool, and it is totally free if you have a podcast and you're starting to realize that you want your older episodes to work for you and you want to know if your episodes are pulling the weight and if they are doing the work in the background. You are going to answer some questions about your show, and you're going to get a personalized report that is going to score your show and tell you exactly where the gaps are. It's completely free, and it is the easiest, cheapest, fastest way to find out what your old podcast episodes are actually doing for or against your business right now. So tap the link in the show notes and take the podcast audit. So let's talk about what your podcast actually costs you, because I'm assuming that if you are tuning into this episode, you probably can't remember the last time that you sat down and actually added up the real cost of your show. Or maybe you are just incredibly great at that stuff and you have done this already and you're just like, okay, yes, I've done that already. And I know that like, I don't want my podcast to be an expensive hobby, so I'm locked in. Either way, we can't keep podcasting without doing the math, okay? So there are three categories that we're going to dive into, and I'm going to go over them briefly. Category number one is money. So that's your podcast host, your microphone, maybe an editor, maybe a transcription service, maybe design work for podcast episode covers, maybe a graphic designer for marketing, maybe a virtual assistant. Add it all up across a year, and the number is usually bigger than most people think. Category number two is time. The research of the episode, the actual planning of the episode, the recording itself, the editing, or the podcast management, writing the show notes, coming up with a title, the promotion across email, Instagram, TikToks, your community, the replying to people who respond to the episode. Across one episode, that adds up to a few hours, right? And across a year of weekly episodes, it's a literal job, right? And then category number three is the mental cost. And I have been seeing this very heavy with my one-on-one clients. I've been seeing this heavy in the Moms Who Podcast community. And the pressure to keep showing up, the I have to record this week or I haven't posted it yet. Not even just that, but just like the energy that you spend, you know, dreaming up your podcast or, you know, if you're going through a tough time in life or in business, it can really take a mental hold on you. And the creative energy that you would normally spend thinking about your podcast, you're not thinking about that. You're thinking about, you know, other things. And so that mental tax is completely real. And it's a cost that like most people don't even count. So the question isn't whether your podcast is like costing you something, because no matter where you fall in any three of those categories, it absolutely is costing you something. It's costing you one of those three things, either on a small scale or on a larger scale. But the question then becomes whether or not it is paying you back. And that is a conversation that we are going to have, and a conversation that I think needs to be had if you don't want to waste your time. So once you can see the real cost of your podcast, I want you to know that your podcast is in one of two modes right now, and I'm going to break it down. So your podcast is either in business mode or it is in expensive hobby mode. And I'm going to name what each one looks like. So in business mode, your podcast is generating measurable return for the time and money and energy that you're putting in. It's bringing in leads. It's converting listeners to clients. It is growing your list. It's doing work for your business that you can name and point at. In expensive hobby mode, though, your podcast is costing you the same time and money and energy as business asset mode, but you can't name what is working. You can't name what it is returning. So the work is happening, but the math is not adding up. And there's no third mode here. There's not a, oh, it's kind of supporting my business option. There isn't a, well, maybe it is helping my business, but I just can't tell option. The math is happening whether you're looking at it or not, whether you realize it or not. Your podcast is either paying you back or it's not. And if it's not, I want you to know that that's fine, but you have to be honest with yourself about which one of these modes that it is. And so I'm going to walk you through 7 signs that your podcast has slid into hobby mode. These are the patterns that I see audit after audit. And then I'm going to give you 6 signs that your podcast is actually supporting your business. And I think that you're going to be really surprised. And both of these lists are concrete. By the end of this, you're going to be able to tell exactly which mode your podcast is in. And I'm going to walk you through this mode by using a wedding planner as the example here so that you can see the contrast in real life. All right. So sign number 1, you cannot name a single client that came from your podcast. We're not talking about, oh, I think she listens or she might have heard an episode type of name. I'm talking about a specific client who paid you, who came in through the podcast. If you can't name that, that is sign number 1. Sign number 2, you are putting your calls to action at the end of your episodes only. Why are we doing this? I'm telling you what, almost every person that I talk to tells me that they do their call to action at the very end of their episode. Why? I just can't stress this enough. Because first of all, podcasting can feel so lonely and so isolating. And because of that, we don't know, first of all, who's listening. Second of all, we don't know when they're stopping, if they're stopping, if they're listening all the way through. We can gauge that by the analytics that Apple, and when I say Apple, I'm talking about actually logging into Apple. So Apple has its own portal that you can log into and you can see analytics from the Apple side. Spotify has the same thing. It's all vanity metrics. And at the end of the day, like you can't send yourself down a spiral because of your completion rates or because of whatever other number. And so I don't know what the official number is for completion rates and podcast episodes, but in the event that somebody doesn't listen all the way through, or if they think that the episode is over, sometimes people will click off. And so we need to catch their attention near the beginning of the episode. And that is where I believe your call to action that matches the episode should go. Full stop. Sign number 3 is that you are pointing to either a call to action or an offer that doesn't exist anymore. So that could be a lead magnet that you retired, an offer that you stopped selling, a program that you no longer offer, a landing page that is gone. If that's happening, the audio is actively misdirecting your listeners. That is sign number 3. Sign number 4, and this is arguably one of the most important ones, to be quite honest with you. You can't tell me what each episode is supposed to actually do for your business. Not the topic, but the actual job. So if I asked you, what is episode 47 supposed to do for your business? Like, could you answer that? If the honest answer is, well, I just thought it was a good topic. I think that's what they need to know or need to hear. That is sign number 4. Sign number 5 is you are publishing for consistency without knowing what that consistency is actually getting you. Because consistency is not a strategy by itself. Consistency is how you execute a strategy. And if you can't name the strategy underneath the consistency is really just labor at this point. And that is sign number five. Sign number six, your back catalog, aka your previously published episodes or your old podcast episodes, is full of dead links, retired offers, and outdated language. So the work that you did years ago is sitting in your feed, actively working against your business right this very second, and every single new episode that you publish is stacking up on top of that. That is sign number six. Sign number seven, and this is the last one, the mental load of your podcast is bigger than the business return. Meaning you're thinking about the podcast and putting more energy into the podcast than it pays you or than the podcast pays off. And you worry about it more than you feel like you're getting back from it. You feel it more so as a weight than a true asset to your business. Now, if you nodded at a few of these, your podcast is most likely in hobby mode. And I don't want you to like feel shame at all as you're hearing me say these things, because it is so normal for literally every single one of these things. And I have been through it. Almost every single podcaster that I audit has showed most of or all of these signs. And the point of naming this, again, isn't to make you feel bad or feel shame, but it's to give you the diagnostic of it all so that you can decide what to do next, so that you can take this information and run with it. And so here's an example of a wedding planner who's been podcasting weekly for 2 years. She's got roughly 80 episodes or so. She pays $20 a month for hosting. She paid $400 for her microphone, and she spends roughly 6 hours a week recording, editing, and promotion. And when you ask her how many brides have actually booked you from the podcast, crickets. She thinks of maybe one or two people who like she knows listens to her show every once in a while, but she can't put a name to the client. And then her call to actions at the end of her episodes, they point to like a wedding planner course that she retired 7 months ago because she shifted her business into full service planning. And so she's already showing like five out of the seven signs that we just discussed. And so now let's talk about what business mode actually looks like. So here are the six signs that you are in the business asset mode. Sign number one, you can name specific clients who came from your podcast, a certain episode that they referenced, a real path from they pressed play on my podcast to a paid invoice. And it doesn't matter how long ago you started, that is a true win. Sign number two, your calls to action are either in the beginning or middle of your podcast episodes. So you're not waiting until the end to invite them to the next step. You're reminding them at the end to take the next step, but you've already gradually said something in the middle of your episode, or you said it near the beginning when the retention on a podcast is the most high. Number three, every episode matches what you actively sell right now. Current lead magnets, current offers, current pricing pages. The audio itself is not lying or misleading the listener, right? So there's a true and real path. Sign number four, every single episode has a clear job that your business benefits from. You can tell me exactly what the listener phase of that episode is for. You can tell me exactly what offer that episode is supporting. And you can tell me exactly what the next step is for that listener and for them to take the next step. Because every episode has an actual assignment and it's doing its job. Sign number five, your back catalog, so your previously published, your old podcast episodes, they're actively being audited and updated and they're not just being stacked on. So the old episodes in your feed are not being abandoned. There's a system, even if it's a slow system, even if it's one episode a week, but you're making the old work that you've already done. You're making the content, you're updating and you're optimizing and auditing the content that you've already put out there, and you're making it work for you today. Sign number six, strangers are finding your podcast and they're showing up in your community or in your email or in the DMs. This also means that we have to share about it outside of the actual podcast. SEO can only take us so far. Yes, SEO is 1,000% important when it comes to the podcast. But you know what else is important? When you are actively promoting your show. And then when you have a strong SEO foundation and you're actively marketing your podcast within the limits of what you can sustain, it becomes very powerful. And then you start seeing the inbound. You start seeing the new names. You start seeing that the lead magnet is doing its job and you can prove it. So before I tell you how to shift, I want to give you something important. You are allowed to keep your podcast as a hobby. So if you've done the math and you've looked at all the signs and you've decided that you actually just really love recording your podcast and you don't care if it makes your business money, that is an absolutely fine choice. People have hobbies. Hobbies cost money and they cost time. There's nothing wrong with that. That is literally what makes it a hobby. As long as you're choosing it on purpose, though, because if it's not on purpose, and if you are anything like me, if you're listening to this episode, you have a podcast for a reason. Yes, we have a podcast to educate and nurture and all the amazing things, but also, like, we are moms, we are busy women who are running a business, and we don't have time to do this for fun. We have children to take care of. We are wives. We are business owners. And as much as we would love to do this for no dang reason at all, we have to, you know, put our family first, and we have to think about, okay, yes, what are the things that I actually love doing for the business? If the podcast is one of them, then make it work for the business. And it's not okay to, like, lie to yourself about it. So don't call it a business asset when it is a hobby and then beat yourself up because the business isn't growing the way that you hoped, right? Because what I don't want to happen is I don't want you to pay the cost of a business asset, but you're getting the return of a hobby and you're not saying that out loud. And so this is the moment to decide, like, is your podcast a hobby? And if you want it to stay a hobby, beautiful, like, keep going, enjoy it. Stop expecting it to grow your business. But if your podcast is supposed to be a true business asset, then that's also super beautiful. And then we have a lot of work to do. But either way, the choice has to be conscious. It has to come from you and from your heart and from what you truly want out of your business and out of your life. So if you have decided that you want your podcast to be a true business asset, and if any of the signs landed for you, then here is how the shift starts. The first thing to do is to audit your back catalog. So you need to start with episode number one, full stop. You need to update the links, re-record, match the episode with the proper call to action. You need to update the title and update the show notes. And this is the foundational work that most people skip because it's simply not glamorous. You also need to make sure, I mentioned it briefly just now, but every single episode has to have a job. So every episode going forward has to have a phase, an offer, and a next step. Stop recording because I felt like it episodes and start recording with intention. Number three is track one business metric from the podcast. So this could be so many things, but just to name a few inquiries where this could be so many things. But first of all, if you are, like, having people fill out forms in any type of, like, fashion, always ask, how did you find me? And put podcast on there as an option. Anytime you get on a call with somebody that you've never met before, ask them, hey, where did you find me? If you're not asking that question, how are you going to know who's finding you from the podcast? Another thing that you can do is any lead magnet or really any link at all that you put in the podcast show notes, you can create podcast specific links and you can tell who signs up based on that. I can get into that more in another episode. I'm not going to go too deep into the tech side of that. So that's just to name a few, but there are many other ways that you can track business from the podcast. And so all of this is real substantial work and it's going to take you weeks or maybe even months to, like, do the entire shift. But if you love podcasting, it is completely worth it. And every single week that you do this work, your podcast is going to become way more of a business asset and way less of a hobby. And one day you're going to look up and realize that you can't remember the last time if you actually wondered if your podcast was worth it or if the podcast was working, because the math for you is finally going to start adding up. So if you are vibing with this episode and you have a podcast and you truly want it to be a business asset, that is exactly what my podcast audit tool is for. It is a free audit tool that will walk you through what your podcast is actually doing for your business right now. It's going to tell you what your podcast is actually doing for your business right now. You can grab the link to the audit tool in the show notes. Go take it. Whether your answer is, I want this to be an asset, or, you know, I want it to be a hobby, but I also, you know, if I can have it support the business a little bit, like, you know, maybe let me check into this. But this audit is going to give you the truth. And that is where everything can shift. My friend, as always, thank you for tuning into this episode. I hope you have the most beautiful rest of your day, and I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye.